from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitine.
Well, that 9 o'clock hour, something else, Ursula. Got some folks,
a little upset with a couple of you.
Yeah. Yeah, there it is.
And your take on dogs in parks.
Yeah. Yeah. Most people were on your side. I had a few that was on my side. And did Chef jumped on my side, too, but...
And then someone lost all respect for me.
I mean, I apologize. Lost all respect for him to say that it's a parent or child's fault for it. Ooh.
You know what? If you have no clue what we're talking about, you need to listen to our podcast. I invite you to listen to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Check out the G and Ursula Show podcast, and then you weigh in. We look at the text line all the time. Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line is 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO. And remember, we cannot do the show without you, and we love it when you weigh in.
All right, let's get to it, Ursula. What's the news, top news at 10?
What's new at 10?
So let's start with this one. Representative Rick Larson and Senator Maria Cantwell, both Democrats from Washington, have now joined Republican Senator Ted Cruz to make it harder for all of us to get our money back from airlines. So last year, and we reported on this recently, the U.S. House passed FAA regulations requiring airlines to automatically refund passengers when flights are canceled. So in the final version of the bill, that requirement would be stripped out, meaning now we would have to go through a complicated refund process with the airlines, something that consumer advocates say many passengers just can't manage. You have to kind of know what you're doing. You have to have the time. It's just a pain.
Right.
Just the other day, you were saying, this is a great thing. Give me my money back when something that is your fault causes me to be delayed or cannot take this flight.
Yeah.
But it turns out, so Senator Cantwell and Representative Larson lead their chamber's transportation oversight committees, and Senator Ted Cruz and Representative Sam Graves are also responsible for the new draft of the bill. Okay. So here's something that just has me scratching my head, because also stripped out of that bill is a requirement that airlines have to provide drinking water on flights longer than an hour. So while some airlines, or I would say most airlines, do offer water for free,
they do.
Budget airlines charge passengers who ask for it.
Yeah, I don't fly those, for sure.
I do, sometimes.
Okay.
I'm not too much of a snob.
Let's get into it.
Yeah, so first of all.
Yes.
What up, Representative Rick Larson and Maria Cantwell? Why are you trying to make it harder for us to get our refunds?
I'm so confused by that. I would have never thought that they would be on that side.
Well, you know why.
Why?
And there wasn't an explanation. I didn't see an explanation, but think about it.
Okay.
Those four lawmakers are among the six largest congressional recipients of campaign cash from the airline industry in the current election cycle. This is according to the government transparency group, Open Secrets. So they know where that money's coming from.
See, that's...
So why... I mean...
That's why I couldn't be a politician. Right there. I could not... That's why it's hard. Because I think that most people that want to become politicians, that want to get in, they want to help. But then when they get there, they have to worry about funds and raising money. And so that's what it is then. Because I could not understand why Maria Cantwell would be on this side to not have people get their money back.
And Rick Larson, maybe would actually speak with us. What's that?
You want to look at this? I'm looking at Rick Larson's campaign finance statements right now.
Yeah.
His top industry donors is air transport. Top contributor, Southwest Airlines. Second top contributor, United Airlines. Third top contributor, Boeing.
Could you not be so obvious? I mean, seriously, Rick Larson.
Wow.
Going against the people.
Wow. Like that? You know, earlier in your news, Ursula, you talked about Amazon and them making $10.6 billion in profit the first quarter of the year, tripling what they usually do. You want to know one of the things that's not talked about? One of the things that I really, truly believe that a lot of people and why they use Amazon? Because getting your refund and your money back is very simple.
And yeah, people, you showed me how to do that.
People like that. Back to the airlines. If you are delayed over 3 hours and I got to get on the phone, I'm saying something because I know you all can relate to this. I got to get on the phone and there's all this hassle with me back and forth. And then at the very end, all you can do for me is we will give you a flight credit for the future. No, I want my money back. It's not that hard.
Exactly.
Is that hard?
So, and it's so obvious that there was no rationale provided, at least that I could see it in the four or five stories that I looked at, as to what's the rationale for saying let's make it a little bit harder for you to get your money back. Chef, can you do a quick search?
Yeah.
Senator Cantwell.
Yes.
How much money does she get from?
Actually, surprisingly, her top donors are not airline industry. So her top contributors, American Israel Public Affairs, T-Mobile, Microsoft, UW, and Amazon.
Hmm. But among, but it, she still does get from the airline industry because she is one of six of the largest congressional recipients. So she must be getting some money. In any case, we need an explanation because I think that's just foul.
Yeah. That's, I'm really surprised, especially Maria Cantwell. I just was shocked to really see her name attached to someone that was against this. I thought this is a no-brainer that you would do this. It's understandably so to someone.
Yeah, the airline industry is totally against this.
I know they are.
Yeah.
I understand. Of course they're against it.
Yes. That's why it's not a... Yeah.
They want to be able to offer you flight credits or they want to be able to offer you points. No. Steve, give me my money.
Exactly. Okay. Let's talk about what's going on in Gig Harbor, beautiful Gig Harbor, because they might finally allow pot shops in the city because they want to increase revenue. So this proposal comes as the city's first property tax vote in 40 years is failing. Here is Councilmember Mary Barber.
It's my understanding that the tax revenue that could generate from that would be a couple $1 million a year. And I just don't want us to completely go, oh my God, no way, no way.
So Gig Harbor's leaders say they will bring a sales tax increase to voters in August. A new business tax and cuts to city services are also being considered. But we were looking at the whole pot shop thing. And if you've been to Gig Harbor, which I know you have.
Yeah.
Is a pot shop an improvement to a neighborhood or is it something that you think detracts from a neighborhood?
Is a place that sells alcohol an improvement? Or does it detract?
No. I'll be consistent.
No. I think that Gig Harbor or any other harbor or any other town or city, to have a store there, it's going to bring in crazy amount of revenue there. I think it's a good thing. I don't think it's going to mess with the character of Gig Harbor. I don't think this it's going to attract certain, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think that is going to be any type of problem. So I
hate to say this, but I do only in that, and that's not a reflection on who uses marijuana shops, but there has been an increase of break-ins at marijuana shops. Mm-hmm. I mean, correct? There was one that opened in my neighborhood and I will admit that I looked at it and it was one of those little strip mall things on 35th. It was a smoke shop. Mm-hmm. And I just noticed that they're shut down. And I told you, it apparently people just kept breaking into it. Thieves just kept breaking into it. They're finally like, done.
Are they breaking into houses too? Or are they just breaking into the pot shop?
They were breaking into the pot shop. Well, I think they were vandalizing some other businesses in the area as well, but...
Well, you know the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration is getting ready to reclassify marijuana.
Speaking of marijuana, yeah, so this is a historic move. President Biden is directing the DEA to reclassify marijuana as a less dangerous drug.
Right now, marijuana is classified on the same level as heroin and LSD.
To place cannabis in Schedule 1 alongside heroin is crazy.
Matthew Schweike is with the Marijuana Policy Project, which moves to change change cannabis laws at the state and federal level.
We think it's important to be pragmatic, acknowledge that cannabis is here. It's not going anywhere. The best thing to do is to legalize it, regulate it, tax it, and control it.
And on this DEA proposal,
it's a good step forward, but not enough.
Matt Piper, CBS News.
So if approved, the federal government would recognize the medical uses of cannabis and acknowledge that it has less potential for abuse than other drugs, but it would not legalize marijuana outright for recreational use.
Okay.
Not like we have here.
I gave the argument, but you know, as we, you know how I am, that no matter what, even for the sake of an argument, I'm willing to lose just so I can at least get my truth across. First, my question is for all the people that live in Gig Harbor, I want you guys to text in and tell us, are you okay with this? Would you want a weed shop there? Marijuana, I don't know, whatever the political name is. Now, as for me, if I live in Gig Harbor, no.
Oh, funny. Why not?
I'm just being honest.
There you go. And why not? Because you think it attracts a certain flavor.
I won't say a certain flavor. I'm just saying that, hey, I'm fine without it. I don't want it.
Chef,
have you ever actually like paid attention to who goes in pot shops? Because I drive by two of them every day on my way home, and you know who I see going in? I see Grandma going in. I see the plumber going in his work truck.
Maybe that's because you're in Edmonds. Because when I go to the ones, well, I don't go to the ones.
Do you see people with hooded sweatshirts?
Lake City.
Do they have dreads?
And by the way, Scott,
come on.
In the 509.
I know, Scott in the
509.
I knew he was going to come in.
It is a gateway.
Oh, goodness.
It's a gateway to the bigger things. Okay, but at least I'm being honest. I'm telling you, but I want to hear from my people in Gig Harbor.
Why wouldn't you want it in your neighborhood in Tacoma?
Because
why not?
Because the older I get, y'all know, I want some peace. I don't want a liquor store next to my crib either. For sure. That was a problem back living in Chicago. Liquor stores on every corner. There was more liquor stores and churches and no gyms, recreational gyms or anything.
Text us. Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO. If we don't already know, tell us where you live and would you welcome one of those shops in your neighborhood? So tell us that. Secondly, on this whole move by the federal government, it makes sense.
Sure.
I mean, I again, did not vote to legalize marijuana, but it is now legal in, 24 states plus the District of Columbia? That is definitely the direction we're going. It should not be in the same category as heroin. I agree with that.
Mm.
So
why do you keep looking at me?
I always look for the experts in this.
Susan in the
four. What an allegation.
I'm just kidding.
In the 425 says, Ursula, I live in Auburn.
Yes.
There are all kinds of people going to pot shops. Many, like myself, are seniors.
Oh, okay. Great, Susan.
Seniors are blazing.
I gotta be honest, why isn't the Biden administration going whole hog in proposing national legalization? Because even in the states, like the Republican states where it is not legal now,
there are states that are not ready for that.
I guarantee you a significant portion of the Republican electorate is secretly cheering for that, right?
Right.
They just don't want to say it out loud, but they want it to.
No question. And Ursula, I want to say this. Your point is not lost. Like, I know the chef kind of brought up, well, are they breaking into homes? I know what you mean. You're right about breaking into pot shops.
Oh, they
There's
are.
A different energy, the armed robbery stuff, which is why it will help when the Biden administration legalizes on a federal level. And then that way we can stop with this whole cash thing.
Yeah, and you can take credit cards.
And they can take credit cards and they don't have the cash on hand. So if we're worried about that, which I can say that you probably are, let's look out for those that own these pot shops and let's get them to be able to take card.
Okay, now I got people upset with me, just FYI.
Yes! Hey, by the way, I see it, and today feels so good. Finally, the text line is upset with Ursula. Nick, yeah. Play some good music.
I am a prude when it comes to marijuana. Yes, I recognize this.
It's been a rough couple days for me and G.
Wait a minute. Here's what's interesting. A lot of our seniors are texting in, admitting.
Seniors are probably thinking, Ursula, as you being the oldest in this group, you should be the most sympathetic. You have to understand that I had a brother who died after a lifelong drug addiction that did start with marijuana, and it just kept going from there. Now, do I blame marijuana? No, I blame. There are many things that played into that, but you got to remember, I have personal experiences that shape my views on certain things.
You know, Ursula, your sleep would be better. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I hear that all the time.
Tammy,
you remember, some people don't react well to marijuana.
Tammy in the 360 says, I live in Renton. I'm 65, female, and use cannabis for sleep and pain. Yes, I would be fine having it in my neighborhood. My mom is 83 and uses it for rheumatoid arthritis pain. Ursula, today is the day. I mean, I've never seen so many seniors text in and disagree with Ursula.
Oh, no. Bruce in Capitol Hill. Nope. Sorry, guys. As usual, Ursula is right, and I am a senior. Thank you, Bruce. I needed you.
Now, you know, Miss Shirley ain't text in a minute. If Miss Shirley text in. Oh, man. Oh, today's a good day. When we recap the show, I'm going to say today's Vincent, the... What? What's that?
Vince in Rochester wants to know, does Ursula think rock and roll is devil music too? No. Vince, I love rock.
Oh, Ursula. Do you have it? I mean, the text line's lit up. Before we leave, do you have any final words for everybody that's kind of upset with you right now?
Again, I just say it's my opinion.
Okay.
I respect yours. I have my own, shaped my own experiences. I had a terrible, terrible experience in Vegas when I tried to do my own thing and experiment myself, and that didn't turn out well.
How many did you eat? How many? Because pro tip, it's only supposed to be one.
Did you eat more than one, Ursula?
I perhaps went a little overboard.
Rachel C. says, Ursula is always right, even if she's wrong. All right, fun segment right there, only on the G and Ursula Show. Hey, coming up next, entitlement. You guys want to hear a story of entitlement? Wait till you hear about this Monroe County District Attorney. Oh, my goodness. You got to wait. We'll do that next. G and Ursula.
This hour of the G and Ursula Show is brought to you by Pello Windows and Doors.
This is the G and Ursula Show, and this is your chance to be the jury. So we're going to tell you about this district attorney in New York who is now in a lot of trouble after her display of horrible behavior when an officer tried to pull her over. So this is Monroe County Prosecutor Sandra Dorley. She was driving 55 miles an hour in a 35 zone and refused to pull over. And here is the body cam video when the officer confronted her at her home. So you're going to hear her talking to the chief of police, who she calls in the middle of her interaction with the officer. So listen.
55 and a 35. Okay.
So you can call this.
Can you please come over here? Yeah. This is on a traffic stop, ma'am.
Yes, it is. You can call Dennis Kohlmeyer right now.
Okay. I'm telling you why I stopped you. You didn't stop at all. Did you not hear my lights or sirens or anything?
No, I didn't actually. I was on the phone.
Okay. Well, you're not supposed to be on the phone while you're driving either.
Yes, I am. With the hands-free, absolutely.
Okay. Why are you so upset at me? I'm doing my job. You just admitted to me that you were going 55 and a 35 on Phillips Road.
Can you please tell him to leave me alone? It's
Officer Christopher Foley. Can you stay over here, ma'am?
This is a
legal traffic stop. Do you have your ID?
No, it's in my purse. Here.
You have your purse right there.
No, this is my lunch. Would you talk to Dennis? This is ridiculous. Go away.
Okay. Okay, so it's kind of hard to hear, but she tells the officer to go away when he's just doing his job. And then the video continues with her telling the officer that she knows the law better than he does. And to get the F out of my house, she also called him an a-hole while bragging that she is the DA of Monroe County. And she was flashing her badge and just having all sorts of attitude. But now she is apologizing. There was a video released Monday. She also did an interview that I watched briefly last night as I was trying to fall asleep. So she apologized to the community, saying that she did not treat that officer with respect. She explains that she dealt with three homicides that occurred, including an incident where a cab driver was killed, and she was dealing with a medical condition that her husband was dealing with.
But we all have bad days and stress. And it was wrong for me to take it out on an officer who was simply doing his job. While I previously apologized to him, I will say it again. I'm sorry. Police already have a tough job, and that day I made this officer's job harder. To the community, I owe you full transparency.
Okay, I'm going to continue later with other things that she has said since then, but I wanted to get your reaction too, because you saw when this body cam video first came out.
Back to blue? Huh? You know what's interesting, and I used to tell you, we used to talk about this during when everybody was on this uproar about this person doesn't support law enforcement and they don't support law enforcement. And, you know, here is a perfect example of some of the same people that scream how much they support law enforcement. And so they do that with their mouths, because the truth is, you can clearly see she doesn't care about law enforcement. She doesn't care about this officer's job. And the only reason why we are talking about this now is because technology has changed the narrative. In this story right here, this officer probably would have lost his job if not for technology. Why? Because the DA's word is probably looked at and respected more than the officer's word. And so now it's, you know, we all have hard days. And, you know, no, I don't know what that's like. I don't know what it's like to have a hard day in my life and tell officers to go away. I don't know what that's like. I don't know what it's like to not pull over for law enforcement, drive to my house, open up the garage, and tell the law enforcement officer to go away. You know what, Ursula? I don't know what that's like, but I'm sure people in authority, people who've been able to do whatever they want their whole lives, they know what that's about. You know, the same people that tell you how much that they support law enforcement, and they'd say, oh, these folks don't, they want to defund the police and they all these things.
I'm just wondering if this is the first time she has pulled something like this, or is it just the first time that she's been caught?
Does it sound like this first time?
No. And then the other thing I need to ask is, it felt like it was straight out of Central Casting, where someone throws out the, hey, you know who I am? Does that still happen a lot? Like, you know who I am?
Mm-hmm.
Are you really going to pull me over? Are you really going to do this? First of all, she now, so here's my question. If when I say,
lose her job, and the bar needs to take away her law license.
That's what I want to ask. What should be the punishment?
Strip it all from her. No. Not only should she lose her job, she should also lose her law license. She should lose it all.
I don't disagree. Double negative. In her video statement, she says if it was one of her assistant district attorneys who had behaved as she did, they would have faced disciplinary action. So now she is imposing discipline on herself. So is that enough? She says she has asked for a district attorney from another county to review, and she will fully cooperate with that investigation. She acted horribly. She asked for special treatment. And how is anyone going to trust her as the district attorney of this particular county when she behaved like that and it was caught on video for everyone to see? I think there's only one choice, and honestly, it's step down.
I think everyone listening right now, everyone that's listening to this can say, if you had done that it would be a different result. There's no way that you could not pull over for the cops. Like, I'm no problem. I'm just going to drive home, Ursula. and I'm going to drive home. And when I'm drive home, I'm on the phone. And by the way, police officer, you're bothering me. Hey, go talk to so-and-so. And by the way, go away. Like, do you know what type of power you must think you have to not pull over for the cops and then when you get to your house, tell them to go away?
Yeah. The governor has asked for an investigation, but the one I just looked here now, the Commission on Prosecutorial Conduct is going to be preparing a report. But the Monroe County Republican Party actually is standing behind this district attorney. In a statement, the chair of the party in Monroe County said, "Nobody is perfect and everyone has a bad day. District Attorney Dorley has atoned and should not and will not be going anywhere." So you be the jury. Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO.
Our text line has been lighting up.
Okay.
And I got to tell
not
you,
looking.
Not one person has texted in on her behalf.
That's just crazy.
And we got Republicans and Democrats.
If she was not above the law, she would totally be charged right now with fleeing from police, right? But she's not.
I don't think she's facing any charge.
Just a traffic fine. Yeah. That's it.
But hey, you know, back to blue, right? All that lip service out there. It's always interesting. Hey, coming up next here on the G and Ursula Show, somebody's having a rough time because they have support from the other side of the family. We'll discuss that next. G and Ursula.
Scenarios is brought to you by 1-800-DUI-AWAY.
Nick, what's up, man? You
a little bit of an element today.
Oh, you make the Geonosis show sound good. Let's get to scenarios.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
I am 16 years old and have finally started getting along with my dad after not speaking much of the past 3 years. Dad cheated on mom, married his side piece, and had, you know what that is, Ursula, right?
Yes.
Okay, another woman on the side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and had a kid with her. My mom was sad and hurt. She's never gotten over it and has moved on. Mom encouraged me to let go of my anger and make peace with my dad because he's still my dad, and I think he does love me. I could finally do that. We have been reconnecting for the past month, but now something new has happened. Dad asked me to take a family portrait with him, his wife, and my stepbrother for their holiday pictures this year. It's still months away, but he wanted to get in front of it. First, this is not my family. Secondly, he would post it all over Facebook. You know that. And my mom might see it. And he'll probably send my mom a card. Well, probably not that. But I love my dad and I'm glad we're getting along better. But I don't want to do this. What do I do? 888-973-5476 is the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line. Ursula, you up the bat first.
So I need to probe a little more, and if that were my 16-year-old, I would ask, now, do you not want to do it because you're afraid of hurting my feelings, and that's the only reason? Or you really are opposed to it because you reject the idea that that's your family and it would be harmful to you, you know?
I don't know the answer to that question, but I would assume that the biggest reason he doesn't want to do it is because he doesn't want to be in that picture that's going to go on Facebook and the entire family sees him in the portrait with the woman that was on the side and the new baby.
Mm. It's like tacit acceptance of the relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. Then I would have that conversation with Dad. You guys are getting along, and reassure Dad that I like that we're getting back together and we're doing this, but I'm not comfortable. You should not be forced to take a picture that you really don't want to be in. And I think he has a voice. He needs to use it and try to explain to Dad why it is that he wants to continue to grow in his feelings and closeness to the new family, but understand that there's still complicated feelings,
mm-hmm,
and that he's not comfortable right now being put on that picture and then having it shared everywhere. It's going to end up hurting Dad's feelings. But I think there's a way to have that conversation and just say that you still want to further develop that relationship that's starting to blossom again.
I think my explanation would be this. Do this. Go to your dad and say, hey, Dad, hey, listen, this is what I'm in. This is what I'm feeling. I'll do the picture with you and my little brother, because I know that's important for you to have your sons in the picture. But can I just do it with you too? I don't really feel comfortable doing it with everyone. That's, you know what I mean? That now, because I know it's probably important
but
for the dad.
But that's still hurtful,
to
too.
Yeah,
right?
but it's the dad's two sons. That's his sons. Like,
yeah.
Come take a picture with me. It's kind of like, okay, let's make a deal. A little compromise. You taught me that. A little compromise,
yeah.
Ursula.
If you don't want to do it, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it, period. And you have no obligation to do it. The one thing I would say is, as you get older, you will come to realize that there are many reasons for cheating. There are many reasons for divorce. Both, like, one party is rarely strictly 100% at fault for a relationship breaking up. And I just like you to keep that in mind, because we like to take these sides where it's all dad's fault or it's all mom's fault because, you know, he cheated, she cheated, whatever happened. It does take two to tango in a marriage, and it's rarely just one person.
Well, that's my answer with that. I mean, I just know that it's always so rough and hard, and unfortunately, kids always get put in the middle of adult problems. How do I know this? I know firsthand. And I have been responsible for those problems that have happened. And some of the things, when I look back at my parenting and things that I would have done different, there's a lot of things that I would have done different as a parent. But one of the things that I would have done so much better was making sure that, hey, how is this going to affect my children? Mm-hmm. And when you're going through it, you're being selfish. I look back and I'm like, yeah. Oh, you were selfish. Really?
That's really, honestly, big of you to recognize that and understand your role in that. Have you ever had a conversation with your sons about that? I mean, I think that would be a big step, too, you know, admitting,
little,
you know,
little by little.
I know. But that's a big thing, G.
Yeah.
I mean, I give you great credit for that. The last thing you want to do is put your kid between the two warring factions and bad-mouthing the other one, because that's still their dad.
Yeah.
And that's what happens so often. I mean, that happened with my parents' relationship, too, and they stayed together. But, you know, the last thing the kid wants to hear is what's wrong with the other parent?
Yeah.
Making him choose sides.
Agree. Ooh, I agree. Nick, what do you got?
This is a tough one, but I'll keep it simple. I'll agree with Chef that it's not a big deal to me. She doesn't need to feel the obligation to be put in the photograph. And if she just admits her feelings and just says that she's not ready at the time, I think things will just settle themselves out.
I can see clearly now.
So just admit it and just say you're not ready and just have the kids be separate in the photograph. And maybe you can just take a picture of them with the three of you as well.
Good stuff. That's a tough one. That is a very tough one. All right. It's time to have fun in the 11 o'clock hour. And shout out to all of you that decide to hang out with us for 3 hours. I mean, that's real commitment. And then shout out to you who don't get a chance to do that. You're like, I'm just in the car. I'm just going to the store real quick and just turn you on. That's all right. It's cool. And if you're a first-time listener, come on back. It's a good show. It's a show. If you're a first-time listener, let me explain to you. It's a show where usually I'm right the majority of the time, and most people agree with me. And most of the time, Ursula's not right, and most people disagree with Ursula.
Uh-huh.
So just come on back.
And I'm the one that says, bless you, bless your heart at the end of the text message. That's how that works.
All right. Coming up next here on the G and Ursula Show, it's going to be Agree to Disagree. And one of the topics is this. Are you in favor of a youth curfew? One city has been successful doing that. We'll talk about that next. Jennifer.